could distinguish the sounds of shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. Well, in this long passage of Scripture, you have a picture of God at work. And it's interesting that I'll make reference to some of the even passages that we didn't read, but to understand to what extent God was at work. This picture of God at work begins with Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, where it says that all of this was a fulfilled prophecy. The fact that Cyrus would send God's people back to Jerusalem, back to build the temple of the Lord, was a fulfilled prophecy. Isaiah had mentioned Cyrus's name 170 years before the fact. And it's wonderful. All of this exile and post-exilic work that's being done back and forth are all great fulfillment of God's prophecy through Jeremiah and through others. But God made a prophecy. God fulfilled the prophecy by having the king do the things that he did. And so you know God is at work whenever you see prophecy being fulfilled. You also see God at work when you see kings doing the will of God. It's interesting, the passage says that God stirred the heart of the king. God began to speak to him so that he enacted the things to bring his will about. And I think that it's important for us to recognize the leadership of God in that situation, when God gets a hold of our quote-unquote secular authorities and we see things work. Then we see that the people were motivated. It says in Ezra chapter 1, verse 5, that the king said they could go back and rebuild their temple, and that the people were stirred up and they were motivated. Now, I think it's important who leads our country. I think it's important who makes the decisions that govern us. But it's more important that God's people are spiritually activated, that they're spiritually motivated. And a great work of God is more about what the people are doing in obedience to God than it is necessarily who sits on the throne. And it's a wonderful thing to see God's people getting excited. And then we get up to our passage we're looking at this morning. In Ezra 2:68, they take up a big free will offering where people are giving generously and as of their ability to support God's work. We see in Ezra 3:2 that they rebuild the altar and they begin that process of sacrifice. I want you to try to picture this. Imagine not being able to do the sacrifices that you've been doing as a part of your religious life for 50 years. And then coming in to your worship system again and being able to do that once again. Can you imagine not being able to meet and have worship together for 50 years? What would that be like the very first time that you went back and experienced that worship again? It had to be tremendous. And we see God at work. We also see the Festival of Booths being celebrated, which is what's neat about that is it's called the Festival of Tabernacles. And it was supposed to commemorate and give God thanks for the wilderness experience and for what they harvested in Canaan, but it was happening at the same time of year as we're currently in right now. So we look outside and we think about the beautiful leaves changing color and this wonderful season we're in here of September and October, and you can just put yourself in that position. You can just think of what it must have been like to see God's people back trying to worship Him, back having their sacrifices, back having their celebrations, doing what God wanted them to do. Then you see the restitution of regular sacrifices. People would bring, according to their ability, an animal that had to be a perfect specimen to be a replacement for them on the altar for their sins. And thank goodness today, Jesus Christ is our substitute. He's our sacrifice. We're not going to have any sacrifices here today because of what Jesus has already done. Praise God for that. But they had that opportunity to come back and do that. Then we read the rebuilding of the temple foundation. Here we see it. It's happening right in front of them. The logs are coming down from Lebanon. They're putting skilled people in charge of its assembly, and it's getting done. And then finally at the end, you see this praise celebration where people are praising God for the foundation of the temple being laid. And they're getting out their instruments, and they're dusting off their clothes, and they're doing what is needed in order to honor God and give Him praise. Now I'm going to show you a couple of pictures that you've probably seen before, but I wanted you to take a look at them again. You've probably seen this picture before, and someone's asking if this is an old lady or if this is a young lady. But I want you not to form an opinion on that. I want you just to take a minute, take a look at it, and look at it hard until you see the old lady. Do you see an old lady in that picture? Okay. Now, take a minute and try to see it the other way. There's a young lady, a woman now, she has her chin turned away from you, looking against the opposite direction. Do you see that? Okay, so it's one picture of something, but we are able to see it from two different perspectives. Let's look at another one like that. I have this picture, maybe you've seen this one before, of a vase. Okay? it's a vase, but it's also maybe a picture of two people facing each other. So we're all looking together, right, at the same picture, but we're seeing different things based on our perspective. Well, that's what's happening in this passage. It's possible to see the work of God from two different perspectives. It's possible to see the work of God from inside the work, and it's possible to see the work of God from outside the work. I'm happy about everything I've read in Ezra until I get to the end of that chapter. Then things begin to get a little strange. Because not everybody there is celebrating. Not everybody there is happy. In fact, it's very disturbing to read that some of the older priests, some of the heads of the families, were actually weeping. They see God at work and they're not having the same joy that others are having. And it makes you wonder what it's like to see God's work from outside of the picture. Now try to appreciate the perspective of these older people. They had seen Solomon's temple. They had seen Nebuchadnezzar's minions come in and destroy it and burn it down. And they are looking at what is in front of them from a current perspective. Let's go to the next slide and look at some of the things that they were thinking about and that were in their mind. Now you have to be with me a minute and think like this, but sometimes it's a tendency of older people to remember the past in better a frame than it actually was. How many of you have ever heard someone tell the stories of how good of a football player they were in high school? How many of you have ever doubted that maybe everything that they said about that experience was completely true? Well, it's because over time, their mind begins to expand on the details a little bit. How about you men that have caught a fish maybe when you were a teenager? And that fish could have started out here, but the fish gets bigger and bigger and bigger because every time you tell it, it was just great. I can just see these older people. They did see a glorious temple. It was. There's no doubt about it. Okay? The whole book of Lamentations is pretty much their response to seeing their temple being burned down. So they have a legitimate right to be sad. But what's not correct about their perspective is God is doing something in front of them right now, and they're hung up on what God had done in the past. And not only that, they're hung up on what they see because it could be greater, could be more. When you're not involved, when you're not inside the picture of God at work, then a lot of things begin to happen. First, you begin to get so afraid of other people and what they think that you can't be active for God. Early in the passage, we read that some of the people, they were afraid, but they kept on doing what was right anyway. Well, if you follow this out and read Ezra 4 and what happens later in the book of Ezra, do you know that the work on the temple ground to a complete halt? Do you know that they got so discouraged and frustrated by a few people's perception that eventually they stopped doing what God put them there to do in the first place? Fear can do that to a person standing outside. Then this comparison to the past or to the expectations. It's so easy for us to rock the boat when we're not rowing the boat. These folks that are standing aside from it and looking at it because they weren't involved and they weren't invested, it was easy for them to complain and criticize and to weep at the comparison because they weren't in it. And the reason I say that is when you go back and look at Ezra 2:68, it's a very telling word. And I have to believe God put this in here for a reason. But it says in there that some of the people contributed to the free will offering. I'm being willing to bet you that the people that were doing the whining and weeping and complaining were not the people that contributed, because they weren't as invested in it as the others. Then you see this confusion or lack of conflicting emotions. You hear this great noise, but no one knows whether they're happy or they're sad. Have you ever been to a groundbreaking like that, where half the people are, yay, we're doing it, and the other half the people are weeping because of it? And what's most tragic of all is the world outside of the people of God heard this noise. It says it was heard a long way off, but that people weren't able to distinguish what the sound was. When you're not inside the work of God, when you're outside the work, and you're whining, complaining, and weeping, the world gets mixed messages about the work of the people of God. They're not sure whether they should be excited about it or not, how they should support it. What about when you're inside the picture? Let's talk about that. When you're inside the picture, then you have sacrificial giving involved. Go back, if you look at Ezra 2:69, it talks about the amount of money that was collected from the 42,000 people that went back to build the temple. What is amazing is to run the numbers on this. Now, you guys know that I'm a fundraiser by profession. So whenever I see people giving money, I kind of get interested in what they're giving it for and how much they're giving. It says that they give 61,000 drachmas of gold, and gold closed at $469.10 an ounce on Friday. when you do the math and you figure out what this is worth, in today's money, the amount of gold that they gave would be worth $8.25 million. And then you look at the amount of silver they gave, and that would be worth about $750,000. So basically, you have 42,000 people giving $9 million. Now, what does that mean? Well, what did they earn for a daily wage in their time? It would be the equivalent of our U.S. 16 cents. This means that the per capita giving of the people building the foundation was $212 apiece. It means at 16 cents a day that they were giving 3.5 years worth of their wages to the rebuilding of the temple. That, when I think about me, that would mean that what I have in my home mortgage would be what I would have to give to keep up with these people in order to contribute to God's work. I don't know any of us that have given the equivalent of our home mortgage to God's work, but these people were invested. And one other caveat I need to say is that it says that they gave according to their ability. So obviously those who were wealthier gave more. Those who were not as wealthy gave what they could give. But the important thing was they were invested and they gave, and that's wonderful. Not only that, they were personally involved. You read about all the craftsmanship, all the oversight that went into the building of this temple, of the foundation, and they had a stake in it. They wanted to be a part of it. They then praise God and worship in song. Do you know when God is at work, one of the symbols of that or manifestations of that is new music? And that's what excites me so much about what's going on at Emmanuel right now, is that we have new songs and new songs being written. And that's a picture of people being at work together trying to express what God is doing. That's what they did. When they finished the foundation, they had a fifth Sunday sing. They got together and they praised God as David had commanded them to do. Now the question of the day is this. Am I inside or outside the picture of the work of God? Let's ask these questions and only you know the answer to them. Is our response based on our relationship to the Father or to our circumstances? Did we do our best in obedience to God? Did we contribute what God required with the right motives? Are we afraid of what others might think or do to us as a result of our obedience? And are we upset that the work did not show the results we expected or that others have success in something that we don't? Now, as you look at those questions, as you put yourself in there, you think about that, just let God's Spirit speak to you and work through you. It's amazing to me, but I've witnessed a phenomenon as a pastor. And that is, and bear with me because this is just an example that I want to use and it's not universal, that I might have a woman attending my church and she may come week after week after week, month after month, and year after year with her husband not accompanying her to church. And so she says to others, I am praying that my husband would join me at church, that my husband would want to be a part of this with me. And everybody knows by sort of reputation and time that this really is this woman's burden to bear. She really cares. She really wants her husband there. And it's a thing that you associate with her when you talk with her, that this is her issue, this is her deal. Well, after a number of years, something happens and God moves, and guess what? The man gets saved, Jesus gets a hold of the man, and he's excited, and he starts showing up at church. And sometimes these guys go overboard. I mean, a guy, he's been on the sidelines for many years and now he knows Jesus, now he wants to serve Jesus, and now he's crazy, now he's radical. Now he wants to pack up the station wagon and move everybody to Arizona to be a part of a church plant. And what's happening to the woman? She kind of takes a step back and says, I didn't sign up for this. Sometimes our prayers get answered. And sometimes the answer to our prayer is not what we really wanted or we're really ready to deal with. 50 years they had been praying that they could come back and build the foundation of this temple and worship God in their way. How in the world could somebody be crying over the fulfillment of that very prayer? Well, it's because of these kinds of issues. They didn't know what to do with these things, and then when they were faced with it, they really weren't ready. If you don't journal, you might consider journaling. You might consider writing down what your prayer requests are. Because I'll tell you what happens when you pray. God answers prayer. But what you don't expect is that He does. And then when your world gets turned upside down, you don't make the connection between the prayer that you just prayed and the answer that you're seeing happen in front of you. Sometimes the answer is not what you want. Sometimes a change in circumstances what you would prefer, but you'll be amazed at how God is answering that prayer. I look at emails I sent to people a couple years ago, issues I was praying about, and there may be circumstances in my life right now that I don't appreciate, but I cannot say that God is not answering my prayer, and I need to figure out how to work with that. How are you doing in these areas? How we determine whether we're in the picture or not are these. How do we handle our fear? How do we handle or interpret our circumstances? How do we manage our expectations? And how do we invest our resources? These are all vital, vital questions. Let me rephrase these one more time for us as a group. God is at work. Am I in the picture? How do you handle your fear? Living in Rochester, Minnesota, there is a lot more tolerance in this town for any number of religions than there is for anything related to Judeo-Christian values. If you try to witness at Mayo Clinic or at IBM or in the University of Minnesota or any of these contexts, you are considered as proselyting in those contexts. And we are afraid of that. We're afraid of what our boss will say, what our leadership will say. And our fear paralyzes us from sharing our faith to the extent that we should. How are we handling our circumstances? Sometimes our ministries and situations don't play out the way we thought that they should or they would. And we need to reinterpret those. If we're being faithful to God, we're being obedient to God, we're doing everything God asks us to do, then that's what God's looking for. How do I manage my expectations? Okay, maybe this that you're in right now is not what it was. Maybe what you're in right now is not what it could be, but it is what it is. And God is working in that. And instead of complaining about the comparisons, instead of saying that it's not what it was or it's not what it could be, say, thank you, Father, that it is what it is, and I join you in that picture. And finally, how do I invest my resources? You've got to get involved. You've got to see God at work and get in that picture. God is at work. Are you in the picture? I want to show you a series of pictures and have you think with me about whether or not you're in these following pictures. Let's look at these. Are you supporting ministry to the church of tomorrow, either as a part of the youth group or supporting the youth group? Are you in the picture? Are you in the picture of lifting your voices in praise, singing to God with all that you have because of what God has done? Are you in the picture? Are you in the picture of sharing Christ's love by sharing life skills, maybe through teaching English as a second language or teaching in some other capacity in our church? Are you in the picture of giving children a higher purpose in life through sports, through upward basketball? Are you in the picture of giving sacrificially to support God's work? Are you in the picture of aiding those who've been impacted by disaster, whether by going or by supporting and giving to those who are going? Are you in the picture of rallying your community around the cross of Jesus Christ? Are you in the picture of giving your talents to build the kingdom of God? And finally, are you in the picture of crossing cultures to share the love of Christ with others? God is at work. Are you in the picture, Paul? As Paul comes and as they prepare for the hymn of invitation, let me ask you if you would to stand. And I'd like to just lead us in a time of prayer as we reflect prayerfully on these questions. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's go to the Father. Father, I love you and I thank you so much for your word, for these examples from the Old Testament that show us the difference between being inside and being outside what you're doing. And God, I think to a person, we want to be there. We want to be inside the work. We are at a time in our church's life and in our convention's life and in every other way that we need to be involved. And the time for us is to roll up our sleeves and to give sacrificially and to invest ourselves. Father, thank you that because of your grace and your help that we don't have to compare ourselves to others. We don't have to compare ourselves to our own expectations or to our past. But the standard of being obedient to you right now and doing what you have for us right in front of us is where we need to be. Lord, I love you and I thank you for this church, a church that is in the picture. But I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior and would like to have that as an experience, would like to know Him and know what it's like to live on purpose, that they would find Jesus as their forgiver and leader today, that they would open their heart by simply praying and trust to Him, that He would change their life and He would take away their sin and help them to follow Him. And Lord, for those who've made that decision and want to live for Jesus, but they really haven't found a way to be plugged in, that they would reflect on what God is doing right here, right now at Emmanuel, and they would find a way that they could get in the picture of God at work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.